Transtorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Transtorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Putin, Orban, preparing for Trump. Russian President Vladimir Putin is scheduled to pay a visit next week to Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban in Budapest in order to discuss the changing world order of the Trump era. Trump on trade, tear up TPP, renegotiate NAFTA. President Donald Trump is already fulfilling the most important international aspects of his campaign's economic platforms, signaling that he's serious about fundamentally splitting from his predecessors. And also, after Astana, the path to peace in Syria. The Astana talks brokered by Russia, Iran, and Turkey have just concluded, but despite implementing a ceasefire monitoring mechanism, this format still has a lot of work left to do to bring peace to Syria. Opening up this week's edition of Trendstorm is President Putin's upcoming visit to Hungary. Russian President Vladimir Putin is scheduled to pay a visit next week to Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban in Budapest in order to discuss the changing world order of the Trump era. According to the Euractiv online media outlet, Orban's chief of staff, Janos Lazar, said that they'll talk about the current socio-political and economic questions in an important but not exceptional meeting, pointing out that 2017 will be an important year in foreign politics, not just because of the new U.S. president or Brexit. In place of multilateral cooperation comes an era of bilateral cooperation. While follow-up consultations on previously agreed economic deals and other issues such as energy will certainly be on the agenda, observers are expecting the two leaders to hold all-around talks about the global situation, just as Orban's chief of staff reported. The Hungarian premier was the first EU leader to openly come out in support of President Trump during his candidacy last year, and recently praised him for putting an end to multilateralism. Orban's conservative, socio-political, and Eurosceptic views also align with Trump's, which creates what will surely be an interesting personal synergy to watch over the next 4 to 8 years. Interestingly, Orban also has a lot in common with President Putin, as the two leaders are openly against the shadowy Soros network and champion conservative values. Moreover, Orban bravely resisted what must have been unimaginable EU and American pressure to host President Putin last year during the height of the ongoing sanctions war, demonstrating that he's not afraid to take independent positions which put him at odds with his nominal institutional allies. This sovereign streak of leadership is attractive to Russia at a time when Moscow seems eager to reach a new détente with Washington in the new Cold War. And it also shows that Orban was far ahead of his Western peers in appreciating the value of pragmatic relations with President Putin. Now that Trump is openly interested in normalizing relations with Russia and cooperating in areas of shared interest such as anti-terrorist operations, Orban is revealed to be a geopolitical visionary who could also importantly help bridge the remaining divides between Moscow and Washington in advance of their hoped-for détente. Orban is already on great terms with President Putin, and it can be assumed that Trump sees him quite favorably as well. So it makes sense why Russia's leader might have visited him for this very important purpose. So to open up our discussion today, we're joined by Mr. Stefan Gajic. He's a PhD in political science, and he works at the Institute of European Studies in Belgrade. Hi, Stefan, and thank you for joining us today.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Stefan, what I want to ask you about are the strategic commonalities that bring together President Putin and Prime Minister Orban, and if we speak more broadly, Russia and Hungary. What are they?
I would say that one word that would describe the connection between Russia and Hungary at this moment is conservatism. Something that both Russia's and Hungary's, as they are called derogatorily, strongmen, in the Western mainstream media, I mean, that's how they are described. What they are advocating for is basically state sovereignty, meaning that for the most of the internal affairs, states should have the final say instead of international organizations of this or that sort imposing values on them. Maybe only a couple of decades ago, this would have been seen as common sense policies, not particularly conservative. But now we live in a different time and in a different, I would say, even ideological discourse globally. These things are possible. So I think that Orban and Putin, or today's Hungary and Russia, have commonalities. they are, of course, two sovereign states, so they wouldn't have the same opinion on every foreign political issue, but there is a lot that is binding them, so that is why I see this meeting of the two leaders as something perfectly normal and natural.
Alrighty, well, how effective of a bridge you think Hungary could be in facilitating a much hoped for new detente between Russia and Hungary, seeing as how he's on pretty good terms with Trump and also with President Putin?
Well, I would like to paraphrase János Lázár, the Orbán's chief of staff, who said that we are moving from a period of multilateralism to bilateral relations. That is why I think that the United States and Russia don't really need a middleman. Orbán, of course, is probably the leader who is closest to in current Europe, to both, if you exclude, of course, President of Republika Srpska, Milorad Dodik, who I would say is even closer to both Trump and Putin. But Republika Srpska is not fully a state, it's not internationally recognized. So out of internationally recognized UN member states, Hungary is probably the one that is closest to both. That is why I don't think that the Hungary per se will influence the betterment, if you want, of Russia and the United States. I think that the meeting of two leaders, meaning Trump and Putin, will soon come at the table. It would be interesting where it will take place. Maybe Budapest might be the spot where they will meet. I certainly hope, as a Serb, that it might be Banja Luka, the capital of Republika Srpska, but I don't really think it is a realistic scenario. But anyway, it certainly helps that Orbán shares in the broadest sense that he shares the values of both Putin and Trump. But at the same time, I don't think that Hungary will be a middleman between Russia and the United States.
We're joined by Mr. Stefan Gajic. He's a PhD in political science, and he works at the Institute of European Studies in Belgrade. Okay, yeah, I think you made some pretty good points in developing that argument, and it makes a lot of sense. So what I want to ask you next, Stefan, is about what kind of binds together these three leaders. If we look at Putin, Orbán, and Trump, other than their conservatism, I mean, all three have been exposed at one time or another to color revolution pressures, and two of the three, in this case Russia and Hungary, have either banned or are curtailing the activities of the Soros Foundation, which has recently targeted Trump. So what do you make out of this observation, and do you think that it can encourage a deeper strategic cooperation either on the bilateral level between these three sides or even multilaterally in terms of a collective solution?
Well, I'll start with another thing. When I first heard this really, I would say, crazy conspiracy theory of Russian hackers and Russia as a state influencing the American elections, when at the same time we know that the number of foreign contributors who gave money to and assistance to Hillary Clinton's campaign was far broader than that of Donald Trump, who was insisting that his foreigners should not be influencing financially the American elections. What I thought of is how the current, well, now it is the former elite, the elite of the Obama years, was delusional. They didn't realize that the American conservatives, those same Reaganite conservatives who were violently, really passionately against the Soviet Union, calling it the evil empire and so on, just came to a conclusion that what Russia represents today is much closer to what their own president at the time represented. Meaning that they have made such a huge ideological gap between each other that Russia became closer. Now you're asking me about the role of Soros. I would say that he is so important here as the ideology of open society founded by Karl Popper, which I find possibly very dangerous. Why do I say so? The open society, as the title of Popper's book, divides all of humanity into two categories: open society and its enemies. So if you're not on the side of the open society or an immediate ally in one form or the other, then you fall into the category of the enemies. This is why the NGOs funded by them, well, presumably, if of course we believe the media reports, let's say conservative media reports, was targeting Viktor Orban, and these days we can see that in the United States targeting Trump. So what is more important than this or that organization or a fund is the ideology, which is, in my opinion, very intolerant towards alternative worldviews.
Okay, Stefan, thank you very much, and we're very happy to have you on our show. So, following up with Mr. Gajic, we now have Mr. Ole Richardson on the line, and he's a Paris-based geopolitical analyst and writer at Stalker Zone.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Ali, Hungary is nominally an EU and NATO ally, and it technically has sanctions against Russia. So if we look at things on the surface, both sides don't seem to have a lot in common nowadays, yet this will be President Putin's second visit to the country in less than 12 months. So what do both leaders see in one another that's keeping their relationship alive during these troubling times?
Well, the first thing I would say is that recently they both have a careful eye on what's happening in Ukraine. Now, Orbán himself isn't necessarily actively involved in putting pressure on Kiev to implement the Minsk agreements. But recently a bill was registered in the Rada, which advocates for the exclusivity of the Ukrainian language in all spheres of civil life, which Hungary objected to. The foreign minister is quoted as saying, we won't tolerate any amendments, neither to education or the law on language, which would worsen the situation of minorities. And obviously here he's referring to the 150,000 ethnic Hungarians that live predominantly in Transcarpathia. And also this law, should it be passed, would also threaten the use of the Russian language in Ukraine. And obviously Putin is very concerned about that also. Also, the refugee crisis, which resulted in a large surge of refugees from Syria, the Middle East and North Africa, being steered towards the Balkans by Atlantis' forces. And this was done in order to destabilize the Balkans, in order to create a wedge between Belgrade and Moscow. And Orbán understood this danger of this refugee wave. And as a result, he refused to accept refugee quotas that were allocated to him by Brussels. And he put the security of the Hungarian state as a priority. And not only that, but the identity of the country itself, which was, as we've seen in Germany and even France, the possible repercussions that can happen with this refugee wave.
Okay, and for the second thing I want to ask you is about how Orbán is the so-called black sheep of the EU because he's standing up against Brussels. But now he seems to have more diplomatic influence than anyone else in the EU, including Merkel. And I say this because he's the only one who enjoys pragmatic and friendly relations with both Presidents Putin and Trump. So how do you think this plays into the changing geopolitics of the EU? And does this ultimately validate Orbán's brand of politics?
So, yeah, he's in a very good position because right now we're seeing a reformatting of the spheres of influence in Europe. And as the vast majority of wealth of Europe has predominantly been focused in Germany, which is why refugees and economic migrants were so attracted to Germany, Orbán, he's a good example of someone who was ahead of the curve here. Whether Germany, France, or even the UK, they decided to cripple their economies by absorbing these refugees. And Merkel certainly tarnished her legacy because of that. But there were no Christmas market attacks in Budapest. There were no theatres being attacked by Islamic extremists. Really, Orbán's actions have been justified, and he has shown the correct approach to adapting to the changing environment in Europe. And also, people like François Hollande have a 4% approval rating. So clearly, these dominant policies that are being fulfilled by people like Hollande and Merkel show that the vast majority of taxpayers do not agree with this. So Orbán is really representing the voice of people who don't agree with this, if you like, taxpayer last, refugees first policy. And I think people are very attracted to that. And Russia can use that, as you said, as a bridge to synchronize ideas of Moscow with the East and Western Europe.
Okay, Olya, thank you very much for that. It was pretty interesting. We appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks again.
Trendstorm.
So if we put together what both of our experts said today, I think that we come to the conclusion that Mr. Orbán is very, very important. He is a lot more important than most conventional observers give him credit, and his star is certainly rising, which is why President Putin is visiting him in Budapest, and why Mr. Trump also more than likely sees him quite favorably. So we have to keep our eyes on this emerging leader, because he's coming to represent the new stream of European politics. So guys, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this topic, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.